Hello, and welcome to this podcast on Michel Foucault. He was a French philosopher who lived from 1926 to 1984 and focused on many topics from knowledge and power to nihilism. Foucault was born into a rich, prominent family and was a great student from the start and got his degrees in psychology and philosophy. He was all for social liberation. And especially when he was younger, he would often participate in socially extreme things to experience the boundaries of what is acceptable. He called them limit experiences. A few years after he earned his degrees, he published one of his first major books, The History of Madness. As he got older, he did more academic work in colleges and doing lectures. And when he died from complications of AIDS. I'm going to be talking about the critiques of Foucault just to have some balance. And one of the major critiques that I found is that Foucault has made comments concerning pedophilia that are very concerning, especially considering a lot of his work is used for an example in social work. So as social workers are being taught in schools, they're being taught his theories and you know, what he believed in. And, you know, there needs to be more transparency about where, you know, these theorists are coming from, you know, where he's coming from, if it's to be taught in classes, especially to people doing social work, you know, involving kids such as CPS. These views came from his disdain for any type of law and legal system, basically, you know, the structure of knowledge and power. This, however, does not make his dismissal of extremely important laws to protect children in any way okay. He even went so far as to petition the French government to reevaluate the law that says an adult cannot have relations with anybody under 15. So it was not just an opinion, it was an active concern of his. I just think it's important to know where he's coming from, especially learning this, you know, as someone would be that is going to do social work. So next I'm going to talk about Foucault as a skeptic. So Foucault really takes an anti-epistemological view in his philosophy, meaning that knowledge relates to power, so it's all objective. Truth is really linked to the legal system of control and domination. Foucault most talked about this idea when he delivered a series of lectures at a Catholic university in 1973. His theory is that there were three axes. The first axis is that there is no knowing subject given once and for all, as in both the truth and the subject have their own history and background. He begins by investigating how domains of knowledge could be formed by social practices in society. He goes on to talk about the knowledge of Marxism and how that changed people's ideals and how it related to the political system at the time. This can be seen in many times in human history, like when the Renaissance started, but Foucault thinks that this way of thinking has a very serious flaw. He says that the subjects of knowledge are in a certain way previously and definitively given, and that the economic and social and political conditions really have no bounds on the subject. The second axis is discourse, understood as a regular set of linguistic facts, domination, evasion, and fighting. The third axis is understanding the historical constitution of the subjects of knowledge that are a part of social practices, even if it seems factual. He says there are two truths to this. So the first is an internal history in which it is the history that is made from the history. The second is external history, which is where truth is formed in society through rules and subjectivity and objectivity. These axes are used to demonstrate how judicial practices that use punishment and reparation make the forms by which society finds knowledge through. His thinking relies heavily on people and humanity and law systems to draw knowledge from, which are very objective places, which is why he is considered a skeptic.
While discussing Foucault, it would be beneficial to look at one of his earlier works, Madness and Civilization, where Foucault looks at how madness and mental illness have been treated throughout different eras of human civilization. The unique thing about this book is how Foucault is able to examine the history of madness and how over time civilization became more intolerant of those deemed mad, with his overarching thesis being that madness has never changed, but civilization's perception of it has. During the Renaissance, those who were mad were still considered members of the society, and various arts at the time used the madness to express a type of freedom. Mad were uninhibited by normal society and were able to think freely, and this was something that Foucault defends, even argues that their unreason, as he calls it, is valuable for unexpected insights. Regardless of any potential insights that the mad might have, society continued to progress, and with that, more restrictions were slowly established to keep the mad out of view from everyone else. This then eventually led to the mad being placed in the facilities that aimed to treat their madness. This ultimately proves that the lack of tolerance of the mad and the unique perspectives were no longer desired in civilization, or, more realistically, they were viewed as undesirable people who were afflicted with an illness that needed to be addressed for society's best interests rather than the interests of the individual. Though the madness that people were experiencing was not necessarily different, that did not matter because society was only concerned with the idea of progression. The people who were deemed mad would hinder any type of progress, so they were thought to belong in the fringes of society. This ties in perfectly with Foucault's postmodernism views because this whole book looks to question our preconceived notions of the mad and why we have adopted the beliefs we have now, without considering any other implications of keeping the mad ostracized. Foucault was a prominent contributor to postmodernism, but he also contributed to nihilism as well. It is no secret that Foucault was heavily influenced by German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche and his various philosophical works. Nietzsche's biggest contribution to Foucault is arguably showing the usefulness of genealogy, or the questioning of popularly held beliefs through a historical lens. Nietzsche's work, The Genealogy of Morals, laid the groundwork for Foucault to later expand on the genealogy of knowledge and power. The genealogy of knowledge and power relates to Foucault's influence of nihilism because Foucauldian nihilism, or sometimes called pure nihilism, does not argue that nihilism is good or bad, but just is. The same can be applied to knowledge and power. Knowledge is an ever-changing thing that is valued in society, and is directly related to those who are in power. Knowledge then adopts the modifiers of good or bad based on who is using the knowledge and for what reason. This means that knowledge and power are entangled with one another, but power is the driving force for everything. The issue with this is that there's no objective power, and instead we are left with power that society applies to whoever they choose. Just like the mad, the context of society matters when looking at knowledge and power. If one were to have a nearly encyclopedic knowledge of an obscure thing, but they found themselves surrounded by people who don't value the information, they effectively have no power. This is the case for all of society as well. If someone does not have the beneficial knowledge that is immediately useful to the crises that are happening around the world, or do not have the real-world applications, then that person has no power. Foucault's answer to the knowledge-power conundrum is that one has to acknowledge that they are products of the society that they live in, and they are contributing to the knowledge-power dynamic regardless of intention. With this realization, then one can begin to understand how this dynamic has worked throughout history and how it will continue to shift without the person. Foucauldian nihilism, in short, is awareness of the things outside one's control, with the potential to lead one to their own meaning if they choose to seek it. With an understanding of Foucauldian nihilism, we can now look at Foucault's limit experience. The limit experience is another one of Foucault's ideas that challenges a person to question what they know about themselves and the world around them. Its main purpose is to push someone to a point of uncomfortability, with the hope that they will learn more about themselves in the process. Experiences are tied to how we define ourselves and how we grow as people. So the idea to push oneself to an uncomfortable place is an interesting prospect when it comes to becoming a better person. People usually look for constructive ways to better themselves, but the limit experience questions that and instead offers for someone to be borderline destructive with their process. So they are no longer experiencing something passively. Rather, they're forcing themselves to acknowledge that they have learned something about themselves. During the limit experience, it could also be argued that someone is in a state of liminality due to them being between their old selves, the pre-limit experience, and their new selves, the post-limit experience, since they have not fully utilized or used what they gained from the experience. Overall, the lemon experience is a concept that's best used to help someone become critical of their beliefs in themselves as a whole, with the goal of becoming a more actualized version of themselves in the end. Though this is never a guarantee, even making an attempt can prove to be beneficial. So, in closing, Foucault is a major figure in both philosophy and anthropology. He provided a new perspective on how to be critical of society, those in power, and what is considered knowledge. He also provided people an avenue to better themselves if they were discontent with what they were experiencing. Overall, it is understandable why he is considered one of the most important thinkers to ever have lived. Thanks for listening.